This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, Nintendo's newest console has leaked. This is detailed over on Reset Era by a well-known hacker and well-known leaker man called, I'm going to call him Series M, but it might be Skyers M. And apparently he's well-known in the industry for leaking all sorts of different patterns and different things in regards to different consoles. And his latest find is the Nintendo Ola, or at least what he's, or it's being referred to as the Ola. And this was, data mined and detailed over on Reset Era, which is kind of interesting because one of the biggest things for this is that it will support 4K resolution when it's, you know, when it's docked onto a TV. It'll have an OLED screen when you're playing handheld. And it made me think of an older quote from Serkan Toto, who was one of the games analysts talking to gamesindustry.biz. About the way that Nintendo could go in 2021. And he was also the guy that initially predicted the Pro this time last year, and obviously it didn't come true last year. So he was addressing that, and he said, like, well, look, like, obviously it didn't happen, but I totally think it's going to happen. And he was saying that he predicts for 2021 a beefed up 4K device coming to Nintendo's next financial year, and said that the Switch is just a word. So if they're going with something, the Ola seems like a weird name for it, but, you know, whatever. But either way, you've got a 4K-capable, when docked, Switch, an OLED screen. Apparently it also has substantially better cooling and better battery life. So the overall comparison that Sires M makes at the end is between the PS4 Pro and the PS4, or between the, something like the DSi to the DS. What's your thoughts on the way that they're taking this sort of half-step Switch?
Well, Scott Aylford, I need it, and I need it right now, to be honest. Every single time this thing gets apparently leaked or it's rumored to be revealed, you know, this year, I'm sure we did a few videos on it in 2020.
Sounds like this,
I just want it. I want it in my house because I love the Switch. I love it handheld. I love it docked. And I never thought I'd be one of those gamers who actually plays handhelds because I could never get into them. For as good as the PSP was, I could never get into it. I could never get into the DS, 3DS, or anything like that. But the Switch completely changed my life around. And I think it was the hybrid nature. And the fact that the games looked so good, whether you were playing them on the big TV or whether you were playing them handheld. Because I think, you know, Nintendo has always been a testament to art design, more or less trumping anything else. Like, if you have really strong art direction, it doesn't matter if you don't have, like, the graphical prowess to back it because you can make something that looks beautiful. That said, I just want a Switch that runs at 4K, Scott Tilford, especially because now we've got the new consoles. A lot of us are getting 4K TVs. You know, we want to experience the crispest versions of these games possible. And I think when it comes to whether or not it should be a half step or a brand new console, I think a half step makes sense just because of how well the Switch is doing. Like, it had one of its best years, if not the best year it's ever had in 2020. Like, this thing has legs. This thing is going to stick around for a long time. The games are still coming. People are still buying it. There's no reason to retire it fully now and to move on to something completely fresh, like a refresh for my money would keep it relevant and keep it updated now that we have the proper next-gen consoles from Microsoft and Sony.
The thing that's, like, really interesting, though, is that if they're ditching the Switch name, like, that's the thing that's everywhere that everybody knows. Like, you don't even have to say Nintendo Switch. It's just referred to easily as, you know, the Switch is selling well, or I'm getting a new Switch, or I'm getting someone a Switch for Christmas, or whatever. Like, if they pivot away from that into trying to do, like, a pro version of it, but it's called something completely different. Also, it literally is a Switch. You switch between docked and handheld. So if they're going to go with that other sort of route, then I wonder how much this is them, if they do go with a different name, how much this is them sort of reclaiming the home console market, like, head on, because they did discontinue the 3DS and then they brought out the Switch Lite, which was sort of saying, like, hey, we can sort of let the Switch continue sort of taking up the market share of the handheld market. And then in this case, they could do this big sort of, you know, 4K flashier version of a Nintendo home console and let that sort of be you know, the one, like the home console Nintendo system that they haven't really had, they haven't really dominated, like, mm-hmm. you know, the sort of the bedrooms, the living room spaces. I mean, I guess the Wii kind of, but not with the games outside of like Wii Sports. So I kind of wonder if that's just territory that they've sort of got an eye on, going like people want Nintendo franchises in their living rooms and they want to play them at 4K.
Probably. I mean, I do think there is a real hunger for that, because like you said, you know, like the Wii was probably the last console to do that, apart from the Switch, but even the Switch has this cross appeal. When it comes to like the naming conventions, like you said, part of me thinks that you just don't want to repeat the Wii U's mistakes, because nobody knew what thing was. It completely tanked. And people, you know, mainstream casual players had no idea whether it was a brand new console, whether it was some kind of add-on. It was this kind of like weird next-gen console that existed yet didn't exist, and I wonder whether they've learned a bit of a lesson from that and realized that people know what the Switch is. They don't need to have it called Switch Pro or Switch whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, they can call it something else, but it's, you've got the identifiable branding. You've got, like, the look of the console. I presume it'll look very similar to what we've got right now, and that will probably be enough, and hopefully be enough to avoid any kind of needless confusion about what they're doing or where they're going next.
Do you think that, because obviously, like, you sort of pass out, like, the way that Sony are approaching the current generation, the way that Microsoft are approaching it, or Xbox are approaching it, and Xbox's thing is put any old game in and we'll auto-up-res it, auto-HD, auto-HDR, you know, we'll up-res the resolution, we'll do all this fancy stuff. Nintendo, like, I don't think they will do that stuff, but they do have such a legacy, and they do have the Nintendo Switch Online Pass and everything. And there's also, for the longest time, there's been the rumor that they're going to add Game Boy Advance games to that. You know, you'd be able to go and play, like, Minish Cap on your Switch and something. And the idea of Minish Cap in 4K might be the sweetest thing ever, but I don't know. I don't know if I trust them to sort of do the retroactive, you know, your entire library is upgraded. Nintendo seem more like a company that would just sell you the 4K version, the OLED version, or whatever, of the latest game. Like, do you see them going down more of the Sony route or the Xbox route in regards to sort of like rewarding your loyalty so far?
Well, Scott Telford, I learned a long time ago to not make any guesses when it comes to Nintendo and how they treat their legacy library, because sometimes they do it really well and they justify, you know, bringing back all the games or upgrading all the games or whatever. And sometimes they just kind of drop the ball, like they did, in my opinion, with the Switch, because they have such a great library of games, and yet you have a handful of older Nintendo titles that work on the Switch. It's not like the virtual console of the Wii or the Wii U or whatever, you know what I mean? It's not that level, and they always seem to go back and forward on whether they want to make their history as accessible as possible or whether they want to keep it as restricted as possible and sell you everything.
They
like
want
they recently did with they want to monetize it, like Super Mario, the anniversary edition that came out, 3D All-Stars or whatever, like the way that thing was rolled out should have been a huge controversy, in my opinion. Like, the fact that they put an arbitrary time limit on it is just crazy. And, you know, you could also argue that they didn't do a very good job porting those games over anyway. They could have added more or refined a few things, or, you know, added a few upgrades to them. And so when it comes to that, I can imagine them shipping this new console, and then suddenly you've got a brand new version of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 4K edition that's going to cost you another £50, or maybe will be bundled in with Breath of the Wild 2 or something like that. Like, to me, you know, as much as I do like Nintendo, they have a bad history with kind of selling you their past library again and again for arbitrary kind of reasons.
It's so weird because they come across as the most friendly, charming, you know, like, lovable Pixar of gaming company. But then when you start digging into their, like, business policies and the different ways that they've handled, even things like when, you know, YouTube blew up and they just started copyright claiming everybody. And it was like, no, we're trying to cover your games. Like, some of them, in our literal case, we were trying to cover Pokemon, it was Sun and Moon, and they just copyright struck it. And it's like, you gave us this to review. What the hell are you doing? And they managed to, like, walk that back, and they've changed their policy. But Nintendo have been all over the place behind the scenes in regards to, like I said, business mandates and making sure that they're monetizing stuff as much as possible. 2021, though, as you were mentioning this stuff about, like, the way that they handle the anniversary collection, this year, 2021, has so many big anniversaries for their products and IP, like Donkey Kong and Metroid and Zelda are all this year, which makes me think that they could do, you know, like, anniversary packages of some of those games, like Donkey Kong Country or, you know, like Link to the Past. You could do a whole Zelda collection in 4K, like, on the new system, and that would sell ridiculously well. Like, I know we already own seven versions of those games anyway, but not in 4K, so...
Well, Scott, the thing is, like, I don't personally, and I would pay for them again,
you know what I mean? Because
on Switch and Online, sorry, but there are a lot of Nintendo games, because, you know, this is my first dedicated console that I haven't just borrowed from friends when I was younger, you know what I mean? Oh, I did own the Switch, I didn't own the Wii, actually, sorry. But like, this is the first time like someone like me would get to experience a lot of these games. And to be honest, you know, for as much as I can sit here and say that it's a bad thing to do, like if that's the only way I can easily access these games, I'm going to pay it because they are good. They have such a reputation and I want to experience them in 4K or whatever on this new system. So in a way that's bad and in a way it's good that at least I get to experience it in some form. I don't know, man. They're such a strange company because like you said, the games they make and the approach that they've had is in a lot of ways gamer friendly in terms of the content, but also in terms of their business practices. Like they managed to fly under the radar despite doing some really kind of strange and obtrusive you know, things to people who either cover games and the people who actually just are just fans and buy the games, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they've got like it, every Nintendo fan over time knows this, like, and they wax and wanes on how much they take advantage of that relationship. Like they make some of the best games of all time, but they're also, you're also boxed into a very specific tunnel or whatever, some sort of boxed tunnel if you want to try and cover them or talk about them or you know, interface with the way that their like business works. Like you said, it's just it's a very specific way of doing things. The sad reality is that if they keep, if they do release these games again, I'll snap them up. Every Nintendo fan will snap them up. You might play Ocarina of Time in 4K for the first time, and that will be something glorious.
It will.
And so, yeah, all that stuff is going to roll out the exact way that it sounds like it will. But hopefully, on the hardware side, you know, they can just do the sort of the new bare minimum for the next gen and just make everything run in 4K, make it run nice and smoothly, alongside, you know, the PS5, the Xbox Series consoles. So, yes, let us know what you think down in the comments below of the potential new version of the Switch / OLED and what you would want from a next half-step Nintendo system. For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.